to The Next America. I'm your host, Jamie Lynn Walnow. Today, I am so excited. I wanted to record this intro afterwards, but I had the privilege of interviewing Mr. Troy Brewer. He is the pastor and founder of Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And I'm telling you, he is thenextamerica.com. The things that he put his hands to, that he just takes the biggest risks. I mean, last year, they just alone, their church alone rescued over 2,700 children in 1 year from sex trafficking. That's mind-blowing. They paid for over 9,000 people's hospital bills internationally just to help. They're building homes. They're doing crazy things. They gave out over 1 million pounds of food faithfully every single weekend last year, no matter what, just to help the community locally. They're the real deal. And he is a solution-driven man. He asks the Lord what to do, and he does it. And God provides everything he needs in order to accomplish it. So I'm so excited. If you're tuning in on YouTube, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, leave comments below, like the video, do all the stuff. And then if you're tuning in on the podcast, welcome. I'm so excited that we have a podcast. Please subscribe, leave a written review to help get the word out there and share it with somebody that you think would benefit from this. So without further ado, let's hop on into this interview with Troy Brewer.
What's up, Troy? Welcome to The Next America. How you doing?
Man, I'm fine as frog hair. How are you doing, little girl?
I'm great. I'm so happy that you're here. I was telling Troy this before I hit record, but you are seriously that dude that I'm like, that man of God, that's just, you have been faithful. And I'd love for you to speak into that too, because our generation could use a good dose of a father speaking into faithfulness, putting their hands to the plow, because how I've known you is the fruit of what you said you've been doing the past 30 years. And I just told, like, I wrote about his church in my book. And I'd only attended one time, but just because I knew and had heard what they were doing and through Patricia King, and I just really believe in you and what you guys are doing. And so I'm just thankful that you're here.
That is so awesome. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for putting up with me. And thank you for being excited about the right things. And yeah, you know, I haven't read your book, and I had no idea that you put anything about Open Door in it. Thank you for that. I'm so grateful. I will find your book and I will read it, I promise.
It's called Holy Revolution. So you're gonna find we have the same publisher.
Look. Look, I was gonna say that's a Destiny book, right? Yeah, right on. Yeah. I've seen it, but no, I have not read it.
I know we have like this tribe where we haven't all met one another, you know, and in our publisher.
Yeah, I've been in the same room with you a couple of times, I think, but I don't think that we've ever like formally talked until like right now. So it's a privilege to get to speak with you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. I would love to kick this off by addressing something. I just feel the Lord on this. You said you had been doing for 30 years what people are seeing now. And I think that clearly, I mean, I feel like we can't overtalk about this. We can overtalk about it, but we need to put our hands to the plow. You know, I grew up with friends, not phones. I'm 34. And so we would make up games and play in the backyard. But now this whole social media like thing has taken over, and it's like this instant result, instant gratification, instant blah, 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 you name it, impatience. But you have been for 30 years being faithful. And how would you like to share what that's looked like? And how would you speak into those listening on showing up and being faithful until?
Wow. Yeah. I can tell you this, that I'm not where I am because I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. I've just never had I'm not a 50 pound head, you know? And I have never had a lot of money, and I haven't had a lot of influential friends and all that. But something that I've had is I've had passion and drive to stay in. And that's been a supernatural grace that's been on me from the very, very, very beginning, where as soon as I got saved, I just had this thing in me, Jamie, where I just went, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, man? And jumped in, and I didn't really expect anybody else to jump in with me. I don't know what was wrong with me. I was a weirdo. I played lead guitar in a Christian rock band, and we traveled throughout the 80s, and I used every opportunity that we had to do outreaches. And then my wife and I started dating whenever we were teenagers, and She was crazier than I was, and she loved Jesus with all of her heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. And we started doing stuff together and feeding the homeless and building stuff and doing all the stuff that we did. But it just, I never considered I had any option to leave the game, you know, to leave the kingdom. I think that anytime that you think that you have the option, you're in trouble. If I feel like I have any other option but to be married to my wife, then I have an issue. If I can imagine my life without Leanna, then I have an issue. I just can't imagine my life without being passionately on fire for Jesus and without just going, no, you know what, whatever the problem is going to be, it ain't going to be me. I'm going to stay in the game, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to outlast my critics. I'm going to continue in. I'm not going to give up. And I have found that God will bless faithfulness. I'm just shocked, not at how faithful God is, but at how much honor he will put upon you and how successful he'll make you in spite of you. If you just won't give up, if you'll just stay in, and if he can count you as faithful, it's huge.
I love that. So there's people who are sitting at home and they have these dreams that maybe they've brushed aside, or maybe their hearts have grown callous towards the dreams because, quote unquote, they haven't had enough, fill in the blank, whatever the excuse is. What does that look like? Because not everybody knows how to maintain that fire and that commitment. So practically, what does that look like?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, that's something that everybody needs to learn, is how to maintain their passion. You have to have supernatural emotional intelligence, and you can't leave your emotions up to media or up to anybody else or up to your hormones or up to whatever age you are or how much sugar you've eaten or whatever. You have to own the responsibility of, you know, am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? Am I going to be courageous? Am I going to be fearful? You have to own the responsibility of your emotions, and you have to be willing to serve the Lord in that. So a big part of serving God is serving the Lord emotionally. All right. So I say all that to say, I found out very quick that I had very little skill sets, and I had very little tools in my little bag of tricks when it came to emotional things. When I was very young, I could get mad super easy and stay mad for a long time and then forget what I was even mad at. I could be driving down the road and have the most ultimate, awesome, fiery conversation, confrontational, fiery conversation with people that are not even in the car, and go, okay, I think I might need to get a handle on that. And then I would be so emotionally involved in these fiery conversations that I would be having with people that were not there. I couldn't remember if I'd actually had them or not. That's how whack I was. And so I might be the only person in the world that's ever been like that, but I suspect that I'm not. I suspect that a whole lot of us are. So just in maintaining our passion, I honestly began to seek skill sets. I have three major things that I do to remain passionate, and things that I teach and things that I tell my staff. But one is this, stay personally involved. You cannot be passionate about anything that you're not personally involved in. And I refuse to be a mega church pastor that sits in my office and gripes about all the people that have left the church and gripe about all the people that should have showed up and didn't. How can I do that if I spend my week coloring with a little girl that we just saved out of sexual trafficking, who a week ago was literally in a brothel? And I that's a part of my week. Every single week is to spend time with somebody we've rescued. I will not allow myself to go a week without spending actual time with somebody. Another thing too is, if we do a food outreach, I'm there. And I'm there before everybody else, and I'm there after everybody else. Or that's not always true, but it is always my intention. By the way, that's something else I've learned emotionally, is that we judge everybody else according to what they do, but we expect everybody else to judge us according to our intentions. Right?
Well, that's like a, put that on a pillow at grandma's house. You know what I'm saying?
That's absolutely the fact, Jack, as the prophet Bill Murray once said. So there's another thing that I do so in order to remain passionate, I actually stay involved. I will not just hand it off to somebody else. And I want to tell you, I've had to fight that. I have 5 people in short. You don't need to be doing that anymore. You don't need to be a part of that anymore. Part of it I have had to change. Like, I can't go into brothels and buy little girls anymore because everybody knows who I am. And you can only do that like once at a brothel, and then you get killed the next time you go in. Or, you know, you do have to get wise, but no, I refuse not to be personally involved. And then the last one out of all those is, I want to maintain my wonder for the Lord. If I ever get into a place where I'm not blown away with God, there's something wrong. It's like when I was a kid, I used to ride bulls, and I was a big time bull rider when I was a teenager. And there was never a time I got in that chute that I was not terrified. And that's a good, healthy place to be. It's an incredibly healthy place to be. The wonder of the Lord and maintaining the wonder of God and being fascinated with his heart. And if I'm around a bunch of people that are not like that, I'm like, this is the boring crowd, and I'm going to go find the Jesus-loving fun bunch. And if I can't find those people, I'm going to start my own crowd, and I am going to go after the heart of God in a ridiculously stupid way that everybody else thinks is not necessary until they get cancer. And then they'll be so happy I am a Jesus freak.
Yeah, that's so good. Speaking of ridiculous, I went to y'all's, here I am pointing this back to y'all, but y'all's, was it your 30-year celebration last year that you guys did?
You
had actually, confetti cannons went off.
Oh yeah, it was actually the 25-year anniversary of the church.
Okay, listen to me when I tell you this. I am a confetti cannon queen. I chose the wedding venue I did because they said we could do a balloon drop because we couldn't do confetti, and then we couldn't do the balloon drop. So I felt like when I showed up to your 25 year celebration, that actually made up for the loss of not getting to have that at my wedding.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We heard that you were coming, Jamie. And so we did that.
I thought that's what it was. That's so awesome. Okay. Speaking of everything that you guys have your hands to, even being at that 25 year celebration, what I loved, it was so, I have chills. It was so honoring of what the body of Christ had come together to accomplish and how God provided miraculously and consistently for you guys because you were continuing to show up. It was like so crazy wild to me. So for you, when you look at America and you, if you could, you know, talk to everyone who's tuning in right now, what do you see in America that is a big fat issue that you believe the Lord has given you solutions for that we can partner with right now?
My goodness, what a can of worms you just opened up with.
How much time you got?
Oh my gosh, Jamie. All right, listen, I'm just going to throw out, here's my number one. There's a whole bunch of things, but I would say my number one is this. The reason why we have a welfare system, the reason why we have a child protective services, the reason why we have all these institutions that do not work, people are abused in the midst of them. They actually bring hopelessness instead of hope. They actually bring slavery instead of freedom. The reason why those things have to exist in America is because the church will not do what the church is supposed to be doing. You know, there are about 400,000 kids in the foster care system right now. Mm-hmm. And there's about 400,000 churches. If every single church would just adopt one kid, there'd be no more need for any of that. But we got to play it safe. That's what we got to do. Well, not me. I see, whenever you move into a promised place, it's never a safe place, ever. God Almighty doesn't invite you into safe places. He invites you into promised places. And then he says, when you get there, dude, it's going to be dangerous, and you will not serve the other gods that are in that place. You will serve me, and you will run off the giants, and that's what you're going to do. Our food bank, in Johnson County, Texas, fed 170,000 people last year, 1 year. Okay, there's only 170,000 people in the entire county, which means we're feeding people from other counties. That is one church with just a couple of thousand people in it. And I'm not saying that because of me. I promise you, I'm not. I'm saying I know what happens when the body of Jesus steps up. And I think if we would actually come to the reality of if we don't step up, nobody else is coming. that nobody else is coming. The liberals of the world, the socialists of the world, the humanists of the world, the Muslims of the world, the scientists of the world are not going to gather together to solve these problems. That's not what they do. It's what we're supposed to do. The fifth book of the New Testament is not called the Theology of the Apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And that's where signs, miracles, and wonders happen, is within the context of selflessly serving others. I want to just tell you, I think we would set the world on fire if we would get it, that we do not have to have the approval of a committee. We do not have to have the approval. We don't have to have an amen corner. We just have to have identity, purpose, and assignment, and get up and be the people that God Almighty has caused us to be. We could solve, I'm talking about solve, all of the problems that we have in whatever community we live in by simply being the body of Jesus and being activated, and not relying and hoping that somebody else will show up, because we don't want to get our fingernails dirty and because we're scared.
Yeah, that's so good. I was just in a meeting this morning talking about our first event for the Next America. And one of the biggest themes that came up is that, like, the church is asleep. And the thing is like, there are churches clearly like yours that are doing something. Thank you, Jesus. But as a whole, the church seems to be quite asleep, and we have to get up right now. Like, we have to fight all of these things, like you said, because we've been asleep. And, you know, somebody shared this with me the other day, and it really moved me about how, you know, Jesus prayed in the garden, and he sweat blood. He was in such agony of the task ahead, but he didn't pray, ask God to take it from him and stay there. He went forward and did, like, this is why we're even talking, because Jesus did what he did.
Yes.
So I love just how real and Texan. Why can't everybody be Texan? I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
I don't know. What's the problem?
But no, I really love this. Okay. So then this is something that came to mind when you were speaking. You know, I feel there are people listening, and it's like, but what if, you know, I have this amazing dream. I don't have people. What do you do when you know you have this thing from the Lord? You don't have the amens in your corner. You don't have the people to surround you. You don't have the resources. What does that look like? Because I'm sure you've experienced that many times in your life.
I have. Okay, so here's what I'd say. Number one, it's one thing for God to give you a plan. It's another thing for you to conform your life to the image of God's plan. Those are two completely different issues, okay? And then what happens is, if God tells me, and so like, I have a daughter, I have two biological daughters, and I have two biological sons. I have thousands of sons and daughters all over the world, but I have these four are my biological kids. Well, they are actually nurses. Okay, well, when they were little, they told me they wanted to be nurses. And my oldest daughter said, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be a nurse because I want to be able to wear a white dress. And I was like, okay, man, that rocks your face off, man, let's do that. So whenever she got older, what's really, she had to conform her life to that. I mean, she had to go to school while everybody else was out partying. She was at school. She went out East Texas and went to the and did all of her stuff out there, and was part of the Honor Academy. And she went all over the world, and she did her mission stuff. And she did all, I mean, she did all that. And then the opportunity came. The opportunity came. What happens is, the opportunity of the Lord is going to come. He's faithful, but we have to be prepared in the moment that opportunity shows up, or we miss that opportunity. Our part is the preparation of it. Okay, how am I doing so far?
I love this.
So yeah. Listen, you can't be all downcast and go, well, I can't get my act together, and I can't get ready as if I think this is going to happen, unless I know for sure it's going to happen. Dude, you got to have faith, and you got to trust in the character of God, and you got to get your act together. That's what you got to do. So before we ever, oh my God, I have so many stories that go with this principle, but you actually are attractive to the Lord's opportunities by preparing yourself. Okay. And you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You have to, and you're going to have to be prepared when nobody else sees it, when nobody else understands it. When you do not have an amen corner, when you do not have fans and friends and numbers of cliques. There was a time, you know, well, let me just say this, man, when I was 29 years old, I got a, I was walking through downtown Jerusalem. It's a long story, but the bottom line is a world famous prophet put his hand on my shoulder and turned me around and said, "Hey, are you a man of God?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I couldn't believe I'm talking to this guy, world famous prophet. And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I am." And he said, "You know, you have a Joshua anointing." And I said, "Well, I come from Joshua, Texas." And he said, "What?" And he said, "He comes from Joshua, Texas." His entourage like clapping and everything. He invited me in. He said, "I want you to spend the whole week with me. I want you to cancel everything. I want to pay for everything." Now, this guy had no idea. Leanna and I came there with less than $200. And we were going to be there for a week. We're talking about Israel, less than 200, because somebody had bought us free tickets. We didn't even have enough money to go out and go eat, but our hotel had breakfast with it. So we were going to eat a big breakfast and put the rest of it in napkins. And that was what we was going to eat in, you know, eat on in our room. And that was, so he put us first class, took care of us, had me introduce me to world famous people. I'm talking about, I met Jack Hayford that week. I met John Hagee that week. I met so many people. And here I was, this pastor of a church of less than 30 people out in the middle of nowhere. And he prophesied to me and he said, "Troy, you have books in you that are required reading in theological seminaries." And I was like, "I do." And he said, "Yes." I immediately thought, "I need to learn how to write books." I didn't think, I just thought, "Oh, that's part of my assignment. I need to learn how to write books." He began to prophesy to me and tell me, "Hey, you're going to have a world famous media ministry and you're going to make a tremendous difference. You will literally be before kings and queens." He started saying all this stuff. And by the way, the queen of Uganda was at my home last week. She was here on this ranch. Okay. The queen of Toro was here, literally here. And I mean, I am friends with kings and queens all over the planet Earth. And at this time, I had no money. We were so poor. And then here's what he told me, Jamie. He said, "God's going to do amazing things with you, but it's not going to happen until after you turn 50. And I was 29.
Yeah.
And that's not a fun prophecy to get when you're 29. And I thought, well, I don't have anything else to do. I'll just hang in there is what I'll do. 2016 is the year that I turned 50 years old. And that was the year that I was on John Paul Jackson's TV show. Everybody started buying my books. Theological seminaries all over the world started picking up my books. Everything changed. Our church grew from 100 to about 4,000. Yeah, all that happened in 2016.
That's crazy.
Year I turned 50.
That's so surreal because you look at Open Door, you attend Open Door, and it's like a machine in a good way. It's just beautiful. The presence of God is there. And people are in their place. Like they know what they're made to do. They're showing up and serving joyfully. Like you walk in, it's like everybody recognizes when somebody new walks in too. And it's a huge church, like just amazing. That's so surreal that happened in 2016. So that's encouraging to anybody listening in.
Don't give up, don't bail. You can't give up, you can't bail. In fact, the whole term of him that overcomes, right? So in the book of Revelation, there's 17 promises for him that overcomes, okay? And by the way, the number 17 means overcoming victory all the way through the Bible. And there's 17 promises in the book of Revelation for him that overcomes. It literally means him that doesn't bail. So most people, Jamie, even biblically, most people do not start off well and they do not finish well. They will do exploits for the Lord in one small season of their life. And man, you know, that's a 30-fold Christian. You don't want to be a 30-fold Christian. Man, you want to be a 100-fold Christian. And I'm not saying that I've obtained that, but I am saying I press forward towards the mark, right? That I want to walk in 100-fold in absolutely everything that I do. The problems of America are solvable by Jesus Christ. The church, I heard Mario Murillo say this, "The church will survive without America, but America will not survive without the church."
Yes.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Man, the body of Jesus, America needs us to be the body of King Jesus, which means this, we have a choice in if we're afraid or not. I've been griping for 30 years that why won't churches get out and do anything outside of the four walls of their church? And then COVID hit and they wouldn't even let you in the church. Wouldn't even do anything within the four walls, much less outside the four walls. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I think you're the only church that never closed doors that I know of in DFW. I could be wrong, but What was that like as a leader to make that decision? Like, what was that thought process like? Because that was so epic.
That was epic. Well, here's the deal. Okay, look, we were like anybody else. Number one, the government, the state of Texas came in and said, hey, there was like a 4-week period. We had to shut down. And we did. We shut down. We just moved everything to the parking lot. And we just had church outside. We're just like, if we can't go indoors, we'll all do it outdoors. But I want to say in everybody else's defense, we're already geared for that. We do everything that we do inside Open Door Church for all the things that we do outside of Open Door Church. I tell everybody, I ain't doing big church if we're not going to do big ministry, because it's just too hard. I'm not interested in doing big church if we're not going to do big ministry. And I tell people that when they sign up to join our church, say, okay, man, you need to know this. Here's the deal. I do this because I want to do that.
Yeah.
And if I can't do that, I'm not going to do this. And I am going to go on missions trips. I am going to go on the front lines, and you can't be mad at me.
Yeah.
And so we had a big advantage that a lot of people don't. And I totally recognize that. And we just moved everything out in the parking lot. And our church responds incredibly well to bad things because our whole church is geared that way. Mm-hmm. So we had some big advantages, but it never entered into my mind one time that it was okay for me to think about closing the doors of the church for a year, because it's not my church.
Yeah.
It belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And as long as people need to be healed and set free, as long as people need to be saved, as long as people need to be fed and clothed and housed, as long as people need to be encouraged, I can't turn my light off.
Yeah.
It just never occurred to me to lead in that way.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of people mad. I mean, I was invited to this big ministerial alliance, and I thought, because I'm stupid, I thought, oh, they're inviting me down to congratulate me. They're inviting me down to tell me what a good job I've been doing, or to have an interview like this. Hey, Troy, what would you say? What are some practical things that we can do or whatever? And no, it was to put me in the ugly chair in the center of the room, and the whole bunch wanted me to say, hey, you're making a slip bag. You need to shut down. What? You guys are on crack. Yeah. I ain't going to shut down. And it's legal for you guys to be open. Why would you not be? Well, we're just not certain it's safe yet. I was like, it's not safe. Who told you it was supposed to be safe? Listen, I don't invite people to Mexico because it's safe. Hello, like, it's the safest place in the world. Come down, we're going to be saving kids from the cartel. It's so safe. That's not why we do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not supposed to be safe. The idea of safety first is not a kingdom idea.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. He's like, oh, dude, I'm sending you out. It's going to be so awesome. And it's so not safe.
With nowhere to lay your head.
That's right, sister.
Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. We have 13 leprosy villages, okay? And we've had these leprosy villages for almost 20 years. And there's around 600 people in our leprosy village. Okay, I have spent months of my life, not hours, but literal months of my life in those places. Mm-hmm. And I never wore a hazmat suit. I mean, the idea of you have to be safe is I want to be safe. I'm not stupid and I'm not naive. I don't want to go in and do things that are stupid. But if my job is to reach somebody with leprosy, I'm sorry, but do you know how you reach somebody with leprosy for Jesus? You hug them. You put your hands on them. You put your hands on what's left of their face and you tell them, I still see you. I can still see you in there. And I love you so much. And I'm so sorry, and I'm with you, and Jesus has never left you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's how you reach a leper for Jesus. You don't go in there wearing a big old hazmat suit surrounded by, you know, $1,000 worth of toilet paper and say, hey, this is me being a man of God. I don't know that. I don't know.
Not that we need to get in this, but even the arguments over Jesus wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, I was like, let's not even make that an argument right now. But that's so real. I mean, literally, you're like, this is what's so crazy. You read the word and it's like every time Jesus laid hands on the sick, they recovered. Every time. It didn't say, and when he felt courageous in a moment, sometimes, maybe it's possible that you, when you lay hands, might, yeah. So thank you for doing that. I think that's so cool. And I know you're not bragging. I'm saying, like, this is just real life, like, gospel live-in truth that we need in America. So before we close out, what is something, like, is there anything that you'd like to add to this show, The Next America, what you see, any words of encouragement or any words of correction?
Yeah, let me say this, first of all, that this, when I'm talking about all these things that we did during COVID and all that, let me put it this way. We made a ton of mistakes, but we weren't trying to be perfect.
Right.
You know, we were never trying to be perfect. We were just trying to be right to our calling and to our assignment and our identity. And those three things are huge for me. And say that to everybody that's out there. Hey, listen, know your identity in King Jesus, know your purpose, but here's the upgrade. The purpose from upgrade is assignment, and your assignments are not something that you go looking for. Your assignments is something that you prepare for and God brings to you. So it's like in the garden, Adam was there and God Almighty brought him everything that he had dominion over and said, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with that? What you want to do with this? What you want to do with that? I'm going to bless it and I'm going to call it good. He even brought Eve to him. I said, you don't got to go looking for her. You stay right here. I'm going to bring every dream that you've ever imagined to you right here. And he's like, okay, this is a good day. All right, exactly like that. When it comes to the, like all the kids that we save out of sexual slavery or like the food banks, those things literally just came to us and we already had a yes in our spirit. And that's the lie of Corona. It's the lie of this big mess. And I know that Corona is real. I tested positive for Corona this week. I've been sick all week. I literally just got through doing an IV right before I talked to you. I'm like Keith Richards backstage. Hit me. Okay, I'm good. I'm ready to preach again. No, I know the dangers of this world. I know that it's dangerous. And I'm very aware of that. I know this, that the enemy is so important to the enemy that you are demoralized. It is so important so that you don't have a passionate yes in your own spirit. And if you don't have a passionate yes in your own spirit, you only have an internal view of everything, and it's going to be an internal view of everything, and it's going to be a mess. I would encourage everybody, listen, if you'll get prepared, if you'll conform your life to the image of God's plan, if you will decide, I think I'm going to be happy every single day for the rest of my life. I think that I'm going to serve God emotionally, and I think I'm going to get smart about that. I'm going to find real tools on how to do that, and I'm going to answer King Jesus with a passionate yes. You will be shocked and amazed at what he will bring to you. And before you know it, you'll look up, and instead of having to save one or two girls out of sexual slavery in a lifetime, you save 3,000 in 1 year. Wow. And you'll go, what? How is that even possible? Because the Lord is just so much more faithful than we are.
I love that. That's so good. Thank you so much. I feel so encouraged. And it's like, man, anything is possible. And I just want to encourage everyone listening in, get up off the couch, get out of the cave, and put action to that passion that Troy's talking about. And one of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard, by the way, just cool that you were saying it, is when opportunity presents itself, it's too late to prepare. Good opportunity, bad opportunity, you know, just being prepared for whatever comes our way. And I just know when we're found in Christ and we're prepared, we are able to say yes, like you and your team have. And I know you're open about it, not always being perfect, but when you have a yes, it's amazing who God will bring and how he'll get it done. Can you let us know where people can connect with you?
Yes, ma'am. You can simply go to troybrewer.com. That's it. If you look up Troy Brewer, it'll eventually land on troybrewer.com, and that's probably the easiest place.
Any recent resource or book that you've launched that you'd like to highlight right now?
My goodness. Thank you. Yeah. I have a brand new book. I had a book that came out last year it's called Redeeming Your Timeline, and it's on time and physics and how you can invite King Jesus into any place in your timeline. Even if you're 55 and you have something traumatic that happened to you when you were say 14, you can invite the Lord into that place in time and it changes your now. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's not. It's
very awesome. Fun.
I love it. And then this year in January, we just now came out with the amendment to that book, which is 40 Breakthrough Declarations. And so I'm a Destiny Image guy. I think that you know something about Destiny Image.
Yes, I do. I do.
Right on. And so we just now came out with it, and I'm very, very happy with it, and I'm excited about it. And so I'm fixing to go through my 40 days of declarations myself. I went through my first one today.
That's awesome. I love that. Thanks for coming on here. Rona ain't keeping you down.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Nope. No, no, no.
We've had it twice. I'm like Wonder Woman by now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Lord bless you. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for being happy. Thank you for taking on hell with a water pistol. You know, there's a big wisdom that God is pouring out this year, a tremendous next level wisdom that is simple solutions for complicated issues, right? And that's a huge prophetic word that God gave me for this year. And the word wisdom is in the Bible exactly 222 times.
No.
Year 2022, yeah.
That's the word over my marriage, wisdom.
There you go, sister. Well, this is your year. Daniel 2:22, he reveals the deep and the secret things because light dwells in him. That's a 2:22 scripture.
Wow.
That's wisdom.
I love that. That's so cool. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time and your life. Thank you. Guys, go to troybrewer.com. Go check out these resources. Ain't no joke. I've actually already heard testimonies from people who read his book that came out last year, and they were like, it was a game changer for them. So please go check out these resources. And thank you for tuning in. Go subscribe, leave a comment, go subscribe to our podcast, whatever it may be. Keep in touch with us on Instagram at The Next America Show. Because remember, what we do today determines the America we live in tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning into The Next America. It would be such a joy to have you join our tribe. Our tribe consists of men and women who are monthly supporting, discipling women with Set Apart Women and The Next America. We want to help disciple men and women to go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to do the things Jesus commanded us to do. If you want to join the tribe and help sow into this monthly, please visit jamielynwalnow.com and become a monthly patron.